Alleluia, paia di gelare, tabana si vera. Vita la hitra, c'è hitra la teva. Hare, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna, Jai Shri Prabhupada, Jai Shri Vamanadeva, Jai Shri Lajiva Goswami Ki Jai. So I chose for the verse today, we'll recite it together. It's from the 8th canto. The story of Lord Vamanadeva is recited in the 8th canto. This is from chapter 22, and this is text number 20. And the reason that I chose this verse is because in the beginning of each volume of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada dedicates the book to he has a particular verse in the beginning. So this verse is in the beginning of this third part of the 8th canto, listed there on the introductory page. So I chose that. That was my reasoning behind it. And then we'll briefly tell the story as we can. So this is Vindhyavali speaking. Yeah. You don't have that first part? Oh yeah, there's just little letters. Okay. Yeah, you're fine. It's fine. Okay. Oma Janati Midandasya Jinanjana Salakaya Chaksu Umitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, Shri Vindhyavali. Shri Vindhyavali Uvacha. Pridartam Atmanam Idam Tri Jagat. No, what's it? It's Govindam. Govindam Adipur. Is that it? Kritartam Atmanam Idam Trig Jagat Kartan. No, it's Govindam Adi Purushantana. Thank you. Thank you. Kritartam Atma Idam Trig Jagat Kritante. Sorry. Kritartam Atma Idam Trig Jagat Kritante. Svam yam tu tatra kudito para isha kuryu.
Svam yam tu tatra kudito para isha kuryu.
Kartu prabostava kim asyata avahanti.
Kartu prabostava kim asyata avahanti.
Chakta huyas tab araropita Kartrivadha. Chakta Priyas Tad Aripo Pita Kartrivadha. So, for time's sake, we're just going to continue on with the verse since the class is almost half over already. Hare Krishna. So this is the translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srimati Vindhyavali said, and this is at the end of the pastime when Lord Vamanadeva has already taken his two steps and he's about to take his third steps. And Vindhyavali, Bali Maharaj's wife, comes forward and anxiously says, "Oh my Lord, you have created the entire universe for the enjoyment of your personal pastimes. But foolish, unintelligent men have claimed proprietorship for material enjoyment. Certainly, they are shameless agnostics. Falsely claiming proprietorship, they think they can give charity and enjoy. In such a condition, what good can they do for you, who are the independent creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this universe?" So she's giving a heavy statement right here, and this is a heavy point in the story of Bali Maharaj. So we're going to take a pause right here and go back and summarize how we got to this point in the story. So the story of Vamanadeva is very interesting because if you remember the situation is that because the demigods were in a weakened position, the demons were able to subdue the demigods. And therefore, by conquering all the demigods in all directions, they, headed by Bali Maharaj, they took over the whole entire universe. Lower planetary system, middle planetary system, and even the upper planetary system. Even though the demigods normally are very powerful and are usually able to subdue the demons. The story of how the demigods became reduced in prowess is recited many chapters. This is chapter 22. And the story of how the whole misfortune began is related in chapter 5. And it's in one sense, a very small little incident, but obviously having great repercussions. So the small little incident that happened was one time Indra, as the powerful king of heaven, was seated on his elephant Airavata, and I don't know exactly the circumstances, whatever, but Durvasa Muni was passing by and wanted to give Indra a benediction. So he gave him his garland. And Indra, considering it, Indra had a little, lapse of proper understanding there. But those little lapses that happen to us at momentous times have big implications. So he had a little lapse of respect for the garland of Durvasa Muni, and he just passed it on to his elephant. He didn't even put it on. He just gave it to his elephant. Which is, what could you say, disrespectful enough. But then what happened is that the elephant, he didn't want the garland, and he took it with his trunk and smashed it on the ground and stamped it. He stood on it. Trampled it with his feet. So there's Durvasa Muni, known for being easily disturbed and easily pleased, totally offended by that. So he, at that particular point in time, curses Indra and all the demigods to lose their potency, to lose their prowess, to lose their power to rule, to be bereft of all opulences and power. Haribol. And because of that, then, because the words of the Brahmins come always true, then Indra lost strength, lost power, lost ability, lost so many things, and the demons very easily could overtake them. So as Bali Maharaj was conquering different parts of the universe, when he finally gathered his soldiers to come up and conquer the heavenly planets and the planet of Indra particularly, when Indra saw the forces, the army that he had gathered, he was immediately perturbed and immediately went to his spiritual master, Sukracharya, and asked for advice. And Sukracharya told him, get out of town. Run. There's no way. Because the demons have pleased their spiritual master and have been worshiping him very nicely, they are very strong now. And because you have disrespected Durvasa Muni, you're in a weakened position, so there's no way that you're going to be able to conquer. And the best thing for you to do is to get out of town and go wherever you want, but just don't even try to resist. So then, interestingly enough, the demigods all took different forms. They all took different disguises. Some of them disguised themselves as animals. Some of them disguised themselves as ordinary people. Indra disguised himself as a peacock. And they all hid from the oncoming demoniac force. Bali Maharaj took over the kingdom, directed everything, and was living, quote unquote, very happily for some time. In the meantime, one of the persons who is most disturbed by this whole situation is Indra's mother. Because Indra and all the demigods are her sons, Aditi. Aditi, the mother of the demigods. And so she's particularly disturbed by this turn of events, that her sons are not, they're not even able to live in their own home. They're all in hiding. So she's morose. Her husband, Kasyapa Muni, in the meantime, during all of this, is off in a meditative trance, meditating on the absolute truth in a total blissful state, not aware of different things. So when he comes out of his long trance, he comes back to his ashram, there's Aditi, but he's, as soon as he walks in the ashram, he gets a sense that something's not right. So he, being a learned, realized Brahmin, he sees things from his perspective. So he immediately asks her, have you not been receiving the guests? Have you not been maintaining the fire? Have you not been performing? Did somebody come here and you not give them alms? So he sees things from a dharmic point of view. And he's asking, inquiring, are these things not being maintained? She says, no. I'm doing all of these things. I'm maintaining all of these things because I'm meditating on you. And he said, then what's disturbing you? He said, well, I'm disturbed because my sons have been relocated. they've been relocated from their heavenly planets, and it's disturbing me. And I want a benediction from you, if you would so kindly give me a benediction, of giving me some austerity that I can perform to enable my sons to regain their position. Kasyapa thinks, just see how powerful is this illusory energy that everyone is considering, thinking about the welfare of their kith and kin. But anyway, he complies and gives her a tapasya called the Payovrata Yajna. This Payovrata Yajna means subsisting only on milk, but not only that, but doing other very auspicious processes of devotional service, glorifying the Lord, etc., feeding the Brahmins, and engaging in the Lord's service for 12 days. So she did it very joyfully and very expertly, and in 12 days the Supreme Lord was so pleased with her that he appeared before her and Kasyapa Muni and promised to become their son. So you can think of the, just for a moment, we can think of the elevated position of these personalities, Aditi and Kasyapa, that just by 12 days of intense meditation on the Lord and devoting all their activities to the Lord, that the Lord is so pleased that he agrees to become their son. So they were very pleased by that, and the Lord immediately after saying that and appearing, then he disappeared from the scene. Then Kasyapa, within a short amount of time, he could sense very similar to Vasudev and Devaki's situation. Vasudev could sense the Supreme Lord entering into him, and then he transferred it to Aditi's, transferred his potency to Aditi, and then she became pregnant, and the demigods came and offered prayers, etc., and then, in due course of time, Lord Vamana appeared. So Lord Vamana, his appearance, his was similar again to Vasudeva and Devaki's in the prison, when Krishna appeared from the womb in his Swayam Bhagavan feature, the full feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with four arms, helmet, long curly hair, a dark complexion, yellow dhoti, gleaming yellow. Similarly, Lord Vamana appeared like that at first. He appeared as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then, before their eyes, changed into his little Vamana appearance. He took the form of a little brahmachari dwarf and had a deer skin upper cloth of a deer skin. He had an umbrella and a stick and a water pot, a begging pot, and as Pran Govinda Prabhu read during the announcements, he gave the description of the demigods giving different gifts to the newly appeared Lord. And one thing that I remember, but he didn't read it, but I remember that his mother, Aditi, her present to the new child, what do you think that was, oh best of the mothers?
Underwear.
Yes. Because everybody sees according to their perspective of things, and the mother there is caring for their children, and they're thinking of all these basic necessities, so that was her present. along with many other opulences given by the demigods. So Vamanadeva, he wants to immediately go to, he hears that Bali Maharaj is giving charity at a particular place on near a sacred river, and he immediately goes there. And when he goes there, he enters the arena, the immediate reaction of Bali Maharaj upon seeing Vamanadeva, he was so attracted to him, that in his mind, just on seeing him on the edge of the arena, he said, "I want to give everything to him." That was his immediate reaction. So Bali Maharaj, you know, when I think of demoniac mentality, I don't think that they have any piety, but obviously he does. You know, he comes in the line of Prahlad Maharaj. He's not a nobody to bhakti. He's not unfamiliar to bhakti. He's very been trained up, and he has that running, coursing through his veins and consciousness. So even he has taken Sukracharya, is that the spiritual master of the demons?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, okay. Sukracharya as a spiritual master, and Sukracharya, previous to this, has instructed him about the position of Lord Vishnu. Anyway, without even knowing that this attractive little brahmachari is Vishnu, he's immediately attracted. And there was somebody else in the arena that was immediately attracted to him also. And that was his sister, Bali Maharaj's sister. Do you remember what her name is? In that?
No.
The sister. The Vidyavali is the wife.
No, Vidyavali is the wife.
Right, that's what I said. And who did you say? Sister?
Ratnavali or Vidyavali. This is Vidyavali.
I'm asking for Bali Maharaj's sister. Ratnavali. Thank you. Thanks. Sorry. Bell-headed here. Ratnavali. She was also immediately attracted. And she said, "Oh, I would love to have a son like that." That's what she said in the beginning. But later she changed her mind. Okay. But anyway, that was her immediate attraction. So anyway, as you're familiar, we're familiar with the story. When this sweet little brahmachari came forward to ask for some charity from Bali Maharaj said, "Just ask whatever you want." He said, "Oh no, I don't." I own all the three worlds. I can give you anything you want. Just ask. Don't hold back. And even you should be able to ask just once. Just ask one time for something, and then you don't have to ask anybody else for anything else. So ask for enough that it'll satisfy you for your whole life. And Vamanadeva's response, again, was very to the point, and also was read during the previous announcements. He said, "If you're not satisfied," "if you're not satisfied with what you have, you'll never be satisfied." So that's one of the many very important lessons in this story of Vamanadeva. And it definitely is something that we need to cultivate, satisfaction. Cultivate satisfaction with what comes of its own accord by the Lord's grace. And simultaneously there's a dependence on the Lord and an attitude of gratitude for Him maintaining us. And if we develop that attitude, we'll see how the Lord very kindly, even in difficult times, very kindly is maintaining us. And therefore, in reciprocation, in gratitude, in response to that, we're offering our heart and soul, body, mind, words, and everything in the service of the Lord. And that makes for just a sweet reciprocation of the rasa. Srimad Bhagavatam begins in the beginning verses talking about how Srimad Bhagavatam, drink the Pibata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam, drink the nectar of this Bhagavatam, which is explaining about rasa, relationships, in relation to the Supreme Lord. So we can see various points of that churning of that sweetness of the relationship. So this is what Vamana is doing now at this point with Bali Maharaj. He's churning their relationship. Actually, because we've read the story, we know that Vamana came with full intention of taking everything away from Bali. But he just said, no, I don't want it. I don't want too much. I just want 3 paces of land. But 3 paces of land by my steps. And that's another interesting theme or lesson that goes throughout the Bhagavatam, that Krishna or activities are not always what they appear to be on the surface. Krishna's prowess is not always what it appears to be on the surface. There, being the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything, he has unlimited potencies that he exhibits at different times when appropriate. And therefore our task, duty, service is to go through the Bhagavatam in a systematic way so that we become at least familiar to the ways and examples of how the Lord exhibits his potency, so that we can be, so that when we get to the 10th canto and we see that Krishna is apparently acting like a teenager and enjoying with women, that we actually understand who that person really is. That at that particular time he might not be exhibiting all the potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but soon he will, and he has them there as part of his very essence. So when Vamanadeva, and then of course Sukracharya gave him the advice, the unfortunate bad advice, no, don't give it to him. You know, don't, just because you didn't say, and it's okay if you don't fulfill your promise, because you didn't say Om. You didn't say Om before you made the promise, and promises are supposed to start with Om, and that makes them,
found in heaven.
Yeah, found in heaven, right, thanks. And that makes them potent. And so you didn't say Om, so therefore if you just say, oh, sorry, I'm going to take that promise back, it's okay. Vadi Maharaj's response was, how can I do that? You previously, you know, he's thinking, very thoughtfully thinking. You previously told me that I'm supposed to give everything to Vishnu, and now you're telling me not to give everything to Vishnu. So the Prabhupada says in the purport there, in that point, he says that perhaps, Prabhupada doesn't say perhaps, I said perhaps. Prabhupada says that Sukracharya was thinking about, if Bali Maharaj gives everything to Vamanadeva, then who's going to support me? That's an interesting point too, because sometimes we feel like, sometimes if you feel like the mercy is there in your life, you can see different little Krishna maintaining you and think, oh, Krishna's being very kind to me. And yes, he is, but he's being very kind to each one of us. Each one of us. And everyone else too. All the other living entities, the trees and the grasses and everything. Because that's his nature. Unlimited kindness. Unlimited desire to do things to bring that his part and parcel to consciousness of him, the Supreme Lord, and bring them out of their illusion, thinking, I, me, and mine, I'm going to be happy here, separate from Krishna. And Krishna's thinking, how can I bring this fool back to me? You know, so he's being kind to every single person. So, Bali Maharaj says, no, I'm going to give, even if, another important lesson was, he said, even if Vamana takes everything from me, even though he's only asking for 3 paces of land, it's so, all of this is going to be gone at the time of my death anyway, so better that I give something, how much more noble is it to give something voluntarily in charity to somebody than wait till it's all forced away from you at the time of death and not exactly your plan, you know, your wealth gets distributed and chopped up along with your body, you know. So how much more noble it is if I can give it to him voluntarily, that because I'm going to lose it anyway sooner or later. That's also a nice meditation as we get closer to our end of life thing, situation. So Bali agrees, yes, you know, pace and take it. And Vamanadeva, he just happens to expand a tad, and with his first step he conquers all of the lower planets. He encompasses all the lower planetary system and the earth, and then he takes another step, pokes a hole through the covering of the universe and covers all the upper planetary systems, and then within two steps, that's everything. What to do? So Bali Maharaj is thinking, I'll give him my head. I still have my head. And then he gives the head, his head on the ground for Vamana to step on. And this is more or less the point where our verse comes in today, where Vidyavali is saying, some people think that this is my property and I can give it in charity. And some people are misunderstanding even this is my body. That the conception of I and mine is so deeply ingrained in us that not only are we thinking that these possessions are mine, we're also thinking this body is mine, but nothing is ours. Everything is given to us by the Supreme Lord. So that's what she's pointing out here. And there's a very long purport, a very nice purport to this verse. This is Canto 8, Chapter 22, Text Number 20, where Srila Prabhupada puts everything in a proper perspective and points out that Vidyavali was actually quite correct in her understanding. You know, the intelligent wife of Bali Maharaj, Vidyavali, spoke and said very correctly that he was an illusion, even thinking this is my head, he's still got some illusion there. That subtlety is still there. And in due course of time, all of it becomes cleansed from Bali Maharaj's consciousness and conception, and he accepts and realizes that he's just the eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. So that's the overall gist of the pastime of Lord Vamanadeva taking everything from Bali Maharaj, his devotee. So what's Bali Maharaj's position on? Is that he's such a great personality. He's elevated to the position of a Mahajan because he realizes that, I mean, 100% through and through, that we are just instruments in the hands of the Lord. We have no independent existence. We have no independent right to claim this is mine, this is I, me, and mine. But I am just a servant of the Lord. His will be reenacted. So, I mentioned Bali Maharaj being attracted to Vamanadeva upon immediately seeing him. And also Bali's sister, Ratnavali, was also attracted and was thinking, he's such a wonderful child. I'd love to have a child like him. But later, when Vamanadeva had Garuda arrest Bali Maharaj and wrap him up with the ropes of Varuna, and he was shamed in front of all of his subordinates, Ratnavali had a little change of heart at that point, and she thought, if I had a son like that, I'd kill him. And then Krishna, being the supreme juggler of everything, fulfilled both her desires in his next incarnation of Krishna. When he came as Lord Krishna, Ratnavali became Putana and treated Krishna like a child and gave her breast milk. Oh, he's such a lovely son. And Krishna sucked out her life air, and she said, child, leave me. And she was purified to a position of a mother. So nothing, how the Lord works, the potency of the Lord to work through our misconceptions and purify our heart and bring her to higher states of consciousness. That's a very interesting and unlimited and encouraging potency. So no matter where we're at in our spiritual progress, very little progress or more and more progress, still Krishna's there with the ability and the concern and the love to bring us to higher and higher levels of understanding and ultimate purity. So we're never left without the highest guidance and the highest hope. There's always hope and there's always guidance. And we can train ourselves to look for that. Look for the hope and look for the guidance. Hare Krishna, Lord Vamanadeva Ki Jai. So it's also the appearance of Jiva Goswami. So I just had a couple of things to say about that because it's quarter two. So listening to the many wonderful lectures that Indradumna Maharaj has been giving over the past COVID years, the past 3 years, he's continuing on. He's just recently he's doing a series on the samadhis of Vrindavan and how they were established, etc., etc. His last little video is on samadhi number 9. And in there, he talks about, he had mentioned previously about how through his connection with the Vrindavan Institute, he had uncovered many different prayers that were traditionally sung on the disappearance or appearance days of the Acharyas, and it's called Suchatta Kirtans. So he talks about that. And each one of the Acharyas, Sri Rupa Goswami, there's this particular prayer song that they sing for him, and there's one for Srila Jiva Goswami. So this one, I'm just going to read this because I transcribed it, thinking of Ragatmika while I was transcribing. And this one is written by a disciple of that comes in the line of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and his name is Raghunath Das. But it's not the sixth Goswami, Raghunath Das. It's a disciple of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Krishnadas Goswami. Okay, so here's his prayer glorifying Sri Jiva Goswami. Sri Jiva Goswami is an ocean full of the jewels of Krishna Prema. O Prabhu, please give me your mercy. I am the most fallen, but I want to sing your glories. This will keep me out of Maya's clutches. O Srila Jiva Goswami, you are the son of Anupam, who is very devoted to Lord Ram. Anupam is the younger brother of Sri Sanatan and Sri Rupa Goswamis. O Jiva, you know all the scriptures and you reveal the inner meaning of Sri Rupa Goswami's writing. With your mind filled with detachment, you immediately renounced everything and went to Navadvipa Dham. Upon seeing Lord Nityananda, you fell down at his lotus feet and cried. Lord Nityananda put his lotus feet on your head, then he lifted you up and embraced you. Overwhelmed with Krishna prema, your body shook and displayed other symptoms of ecstasy. In that condition, you spoke the following. The name of Nityananda Prabhu will deliver the entire universe and give bliss to all living entities. You have given your mercy and your own qualities to this fallen one. Such mercy is so rare, Lord Nityananda, that even Lord Brahma doesn't deserve it. Lord Nityananda Prabhu replied, Sriman Mahaprabhu has given a special land to your family. So immediately, go to that land of Vrindavan. Overjoyed by hearing Lord Nityananda's words, you went to Vrindavan, Sri Jiva. While walking to Vrindavan, you constantly chanted Hare Krishna and cried profusely. Continuously, you called out, O Rup, O Sanatan, when will I see you? Please keep me alive until then. Some days you drank only water and ate only a few chickpeas, but eventually you arrived in Mathura. You lovingly gazed upon Mathura and then slowly walked to Vishram Ghat in Vrindavan. You bathed in the Jamuna, drank her pure water, and slept on her sands. The next day, you went to Vrindavan. Upon seeing Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Sanatan, all your desires were fulfilled. You wrote Sri Gopal Champu, which fully described the nectarian pastimes of Raj. The Tatsandharvas and your many other works give full explanations of the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Anyone who sees or hears these books will very soon become a devotee of Krishna. Your body is always adorned with all sattvika bhavs, symptoms of ecstatic love for Radha Damodar. Your body radiated spiritual happiness and your mind loses its equilibrium when you recite Srimad Bhagavatam. You always worship the divine couple and serve their transcendental conjugal pastimes within the groves of Vrindavan. You always meditate on Goloka and the loving pastimes of Radha Damodar. O Jiva Goswami, this foolish rascal can't survive without your mercy, which sustains my varied life. After many births of accumulating pious acts, I have taken this rare birth when I have attained the service of your lotus feet. By touching a drop from Srila Jiva's ocean of mercy, I have attained the jewel of prema, pure love for Radha and Krishna. Raghunath Das calls out, "Oh, Sri Jiva Goswami, my only desire is to become your follower. Please protect me and give me the shade of your lotus feet." Sri Jiva Goswami ki jai. And if you have patience for one more page, I also in that same little video series, that same one, Samadhis of Vrindavan number 9, Maharaj has a copy of Srila Jiva Goswami's last will and testament. And even though it's his appearance day, he was such a forward thinker, such an organizer, and so concerned for the continuation of the lineage in a proper way, that at a certain point, not particularly as he was getting older, but not as he was close to departing, but still as he was getting older, or let me say this, as the different associates of Lord Chaitanya started to leave earlier, then their deities and property came under the protection of Srila Jiva Goswami. So then as he was getting older, he realized, now what's going to happen? So he made this. So one day in November of 1606, he called the residents of Vrindavan, the sages, the saints, the Vaishnavas, and some of the elders in Vrindavan together in a meeting in his room. And there and then, he, in their presence, he wrote his last will and testament. And they, some of them, many of them, became the signers, the witnesses. And one of those witnesses was Krishnadas Kaviraj, that Maharaj made a note that he saw his signature. He said, Maharaj was like saying, and I even got to touch it and read it, you know. So anyway, it was written in Sanskrit and then also in Bengali. Sri Jiva Goswami wrote it in Sanskrit and then he also wrote it again in Bengali, so there'd be no question. So here it is, okay?
Who translated it to English?
Hari Parshad Das. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so this was written in November of 1606. The following is the final will of the Vrindavan resident by the name Jiva, the constant follower of the lotus feet of the greatly renowned Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan, whose names are worthy of being chanted. Whatever activities that have been performed by me have all been performed to facilitate the service of my worshipable lords, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, who are present in their deity forms. Firstly, I give this service to the saintly natured soul exclusively dedicated to the service of the Absolute, Sri Vilas Das. Whatever paraphernalia has been collected for Sri Radha Krishna's worship should be known as belonging to Sri Vilas Das after my departure. However, just take a note how he was thinking of all different possibilities. However, if on the destruction of my body, he, Sri Vilas Das, due to renunciation or being incapacitated, wishes to be relieved of this service, and if the supremely saintly son of Sri Bharat Acharya, the Brahmin named Sriman Krishnadas, desires to be situated in the service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna at that time, then Sri Vilas Das should himself hand over all my paraphernalia of worship along with the worshipful deities and everything else, including books, through another will. In this, there is no other person who can claim any rights. Everything that belongs to me is being offered by me, so how can anyone else have a say in this matter? If anyone opposes this, then certainly he is a heretic and punishable by all the Vaishnav kings. If the Brahmin Krishnadas is incapable of performing this service, then Sri Vilas Das should willingly surrender everything to another fully eligible person. If Sri Vilas Das wishes to retire from this service in my mortal presence, then all decisions will rest upon me solely. He's covering every single possibility. that this is my handwriting is a fact and can be testified by thousands. Moreover, those who saw me writing this will are also witnesses to the same. If it is not clear that certain handwriting is mine, then it is to be considered that some person has enviously written something fake. However, if caution is exercised after my death, then this letter will be clear enough to convey my will. I am also writing the same in the Bengali alphabet. That too should be considered as evidence. And I pray to all those who are my well-wishers that they may kindly help me in this matter. Auspiciousness to everyone. Auspiciousness to everyone. So that's just a little example, but it was so vivid, a vivid example of how Srila Jiva Goswami was so concerned that things carry on in a proper way. What to speak of his writing the Tat Sandarvas and all those six Sandarvas, so that, you know, the essential philosophical points of bhakti are very clearly enunciated, irrefutable by Srila Jiva Goswami, so clearly. And even in his own dealings with the deities and the property of the deities, he very meticulously tried to ensure that everything would be properly maintained. So we can take that as one of the millions, but perhaps maybe a small lesson in Srila Jiva Goswami's life, how he was so concerned with all the details. Srila Jiva Goswami ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Ramana Dev ki jai. Thank you for your kind attention. Ja. Oh, Rabatnika. Prabhu.
Nanda.
Krishna.
Indeed, you have. You're obviously receiving the blessings of Vamanadeva and Jiva Goswami.
I'm just a copycat cheater.
I
can copy someone else's class and repeat it, and if you think it's my class, then...
We weren't even looking at your notes. It just came out so smooth and with such gusto and conviction. Thank you. Maybe, forgive me, it might have been my inattentiveness or the fact that I haven't read the pastime of Vamanadeva recently. What did Bali Maharaj, when did he recognize this was the Supreme Personality of Godhead? I know you said there was a point where he wanted to give everything, but at that point, did he have that realization at all?
My understanding is no. Prime Govinda Prabhu, do you have any clarification on that? That at that point he just was attracted to him, but in a...
His own guru revealed
him. Oh yeah, that's true. Supacharya said, don't, this... Thank you. So at that particular time, when he saw him for the first time, he didn't realize he was Vishnu, but he was attracted. Then when he made his then when Vamana asked for 3 paces of land and Bali Maharaj said yes, Sukracharya then said, no, this is Vishnu disguised as a Brahmin and he's taken everything from you. And that's how he made the connection. Thank you, Prabhu. But he also remembered, but you've told me in the past to give everything to Vishnu. Okay, thank you very much. Nandini Kishori has a comment.
Thank you for a very nice class. I really try to remember always that you said as soon as he entered, Bali Maharaj wanted to give him everything.
Mm.
And I was trying to compare it to, but even in the month of Damodar, you know, we come to take darshan sometimes just last 1 minute, and the only thing we want to offer is a lamp. And I was thinking such a stark difference.
And by offering that lamp during the month of Damodar, Krishna considers it a very valuable gift and gives the offerer the seed of bhakti, pure bhakti. Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion that it's like pure devotional service is on sale. He doesn't use that word, but it's on sale during the month of Damodar. You know, he's giving it very freely. Hare Krishna. Jitari Prabhu. I think that'll be the last comment.
When you were mentioning about the lamp, you know, it kind of reminded me of the story of the little rat that ate the ghee and that it lit him on his whiskers on fire or his tails, and then
there was a ghee lamp previously. There weren't electric lights, so there was a ghee lamp on the altar, but it was so full of ghee that the wick was covered and it wasn't burning. So the little mouse comes to drink some ghee, and because he drank some ghee, then the wick was able to be more prominent, and the fire increased and burnt his whiskers and burnt his whole body, and he gave his whole life. But what did Krishna see? This is our merciful Lord. That's the point. What did Krishna see? Oh, he's done some service. He's lit the lamp for me. And same with Putana. Krishna sees, you know, Putana offers her poisoned breast, but Krishna sees, oh, she's acting like a mother. And he elevates her to a position like a mother. And similarly with us, even though we're bumbling, fumbling, or myself, bumbling, fumbling idiots, you know, still Krishna sees, oh, she's at least trying. We're at least trying. You know, so I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I'll say it really quick. The mind is always trying to pull us down. I'm hopeless. I'm fallen. I'm never going to change. I'm never going to make it. I'm not worthy. I'm not. Blah, 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 blah. But actually, Krishna sees that. He sees that the attempt and the love and he looks at kritagya. He's very grateful for that. He sees it and he increases the good qualities. Srila Prabhupada, okay. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai! Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Let us